And before I get started in the sermon here, I just have to say there's something unique in the sermon today. And that is that this sermon is also part of a baby dedication. So typically when we have a baby dedication, what we do is I'll share just maybe 1 or 2 minutes of thoughts about what it means to bring up children in the Lord and to dedicate our children to Jesus. And it's unique in the sense that I'm preaching on parenting today. So as we were talking about this service, I said, you know, the whole sermon is really perfect for the baby dedication intro. So this will be the longest baby dedication in the history of Christ Community Church, because the sermon is the regular sermon as part of our series that I think God in His sovereignty, you know, worked out these circumstances for today. But then at the end of the service, we will pray and dedicate their child to the Lord. So that's our plan for today. It is a privilege to do this baby dedication, and the sermon really will explain what we're doing here. So we've been working through Proverbs for the past few months now, and we've seen that the main idea in the book of Proverbs is that wisdom is living according to God's design. That's what it means to be wise. God is the creator. He's the designer. Living according to His design is wisdom. And since God designed us, we flourish best when we live according to His design. So in this series, we've talked about living a life of wisdom. And we've talked about God's design for sex and for marriage and for the tongue and money and listening and friendship and all kinds of topics, many of them relating around relationships. And today we'll wrap up this series talking about really a very important relationship, the relationship that God has given as parent and child in God's order of things. Now, even though this topic is called parenting, this message is not just for those of you who have children or even for those who are married. These truths apply to anyone who's trying to make an impact on people who are younger, people of the next generation, maybe nephews or nieces or young children in the church. So if you serve in children's ministry or youth ministry or have neighbor kids, this is a message that I hope will be helpful to you. And if the church is a family, if it really is a family, then the topic of parenting has implications for how we live out these family relationships beyond just our own children. So as I talk about principles of parenting, you need to hear applications beyond just biological children. If you do a word study in Proverbs, there are over 100 references in Proverbs to family terms like father and mother and son and daughter and brother and sister. Frequently, the Proverbs are written in the form of a parent instructing a child. Like Proverbs 1:8, which says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." One of the most helpful ways to understand how we are to parent our children is to have the image in your mind of a long road. So parents are ones who have walked further down the road than their children. So our job is to help guide them down this path. And Proverbs uses the terms road and path and way to illustrate so many important things about life in this journey of life that we're on. We don't have time to look at many of these scriptures, but all throughout the Proverbs, it talks about the way of wisdom and contrast that with the way of folly and the way of life and contrasting that with the way of death, the road of blessing and the road of destruction. And we've seen each week in this series implications of that. If we follow God's way, God's path, it leads to flourishing and blessing. But there's another path that leads to destruction and despair. So this is all about following God's design. So Proverbs, many places, talks about this. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So there's this path that we are to go down, the path of life. Again, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So this is not God's way. This is the way that seems right apart from God's wisdom, and it leads to death. So there's a way, a road, a path, and God calls us to walk down this path with him. And it isn't just in the Proverbs. Jesus talked about this stuff all the time. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So as parents, we want to guide our children down the narrow road with Jesus. And the Proverbs have a great deal to teach us about this. Proverbs 4:10-18. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom and have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Now, I have never been one of those people who thinks in terms of having a favorite scripture. You know, some people talk about having a life verse, and this is my life verse. But if I had to pick a life verse, Proverbs 4:18 would be in the running for sure. I first memorized it in the NIV version, so that has had special meaning to me. In the NIV, it says, it's just a slightly different wording, but it says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. So ideally, children start walking on this path of righteousness at a young age, and we're helping them to walk on this path, and they're walking with us, and they're getting to know Jesus, getting to learn who he is. This is really the meaning behind the baby dedication that we're doing today, that we're bringing a child at a very young age as a baby and saying, we want to help this child be on this path to walk with Jesus. If you've brought your children here to church today, you're helping to do this. I mean, we had incredible teaching in there in Sunday school, and we've got kids over there now in children's church, and all these opportunities to help our children walk down this path of life. And this proverb, I think, paints a beautiful picture of life walking with Jesus on this road. When you come to faith, it's like this first gleam of dawn. You're starting to see who God is. And you're seeing this person that you'll grow to know as you go through life. You continue to know him better and better as you journey, as you go through life and go through struggles with him. The light is shining ever brighter Do you see that? As you get to know Him, as you journey with Jesus, as you walk towards Him. Now, we've seen many times just in the series on Proverbs that the world has things sort of backwards, right? I mean, different than God's Word will say one thing, and the wisdom of the world says something else. So the wisdom of the world says, you are really at your peak when you're young, when you're a youth, when you're a teenager or in your 20s. That's sort of the peak. And then what happens as you get to be, you know, my age and you get older, you're just sort of going downhill. That's what the world says. But what the Bible says is, as you go through life, you are drawing closer and closer and closer to Jesus as you go, as you walk with Him. You see, it's a completely different story. And haven't we seen that throughout the Proverbs? The world's view of wisdom contrasted with God's view of wisdom. The world's view of relationships. The world's view of sex compared to what the Bible says about sex. I mean, we've seen this all throughout the series. And we see it again here today. God's Word has it right. We are growing in life, growing to the point where we're fully alive with Him. Ultimately, the end of this verse talks about even when we die and leave this world and we enter into then this full light of day, this full presence with Jesus. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture that the Bible paints of a lifetime of journeying with Jesus. And it's a major theme throughout the Proverbs, that we walk this road and walk this path and go this way with God. 106 times in the Proverbs, the word road or way or path are mentioned. And that's what it's like to follow God. Do you know the early Christians were simply called the Way? That's how they were referred to. The Way. That's interesting. That's really helpful. That's what a Christian is. And as parents, our job is to guide our children down this path with Jesus, with God, to guide them along the way. Now, in addition to giving us this big picture perspective on life that we see in the Proverbs, we are also given some very practical things about how to do that. How do we practically help our children journey this path? One important principle that I think we need to really understand is that much more is caught than is taught. I think this is true in a lot of areas of life, but much more of your spiritual journey and what you want for your children is going to be caught by them from you than will be taught to them. The Apostle Paul said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And nowhere is this idea more important than in parenting. We must walk the road ourselves. We must walk this journey with Christ ourselves and lead our children to follow after us. Proverbs 23:26. "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." See, there's none of this do as I do, but or do as I say, but not as I do type of nonsense in the Bible, is there? It's like, no, you need to follow me. Follow my example. Let your eyes observe my ways. And that's how we lead our children in following Christ. A godly parent is far from perfect. But godly parents will say more with their lives than with their words. And children will pick up more from what they see than from what they hear. Now, I know this idea in itself is pretty intimidating because it's easier just to tell people what to do. It's sort of intimidating when you think, well, they're going to follow my example and how I live, and I know that my life is far from perfect. But this is when we have to understand God's grace for us, that we too are on a journey, and that our children get to see us struggle and see God's grace work out in our lives as well. We have to understand that we don't walk this road by ourselves. We are part of a community. We walk together. And that's greatly encouraging, because God has not designed us to have to do this alone. Parenting is really an impossible task if you try to do it alone. So we're in this together. And that's also a big part of a baby dedication, to say that parenting is something that we're in together as a group. That's why I've encouraged Dan and Jewel to find a church down by their home where they can be connected and be supported. I wish they lived in St. Louis, and that could be here, but this is a good reminder for the rest of us that we get to do this. We get to be part of doing life together. We don't parent alone. And if you're married, the most important person for you to make sure that you are in unity with, that you are together with in parenting, is your spouse. It's so important that parents work together and that parents parent in unity and recognize that they need each other. Children need parents to be on the same page. So that takes some time for mom and dad to get on the same page. My wife and I have periods of time where we are able to really talk and spend time. Usually for us, that means when we can walk in the evening and take about a 45-minute walk through our neighborhood. And it's not only a good exercise and a chance to get out and move a little bit, but it's a chance to just talk. Talk about what's going on in life, what's going on in our hearts, and what is going on with our children. And we recognize when it's been a few weeks where we haven't done that, and that has sort of lost its practice, that we're sort of disconnecting in terms of even our parenting. The Bible is clear that it is mom and dad together. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Both are important. So Lisa and I do much better when we are communicating well, when we're helping each other see each other's blind spots, because I have blind spots that she helps me see, and vice versa. Beyond that, as I mentioned, it is really important that we as a family are raising our children with as a subset of a bigger family, the family of the church. That's so important and so necessary. This is also why if you're a single parent, you don't have to function as a single parent, because you have a family that you get to be part of. This is what the body of Christ should be, so that when people come in here and they find a family, they realize, now I'm not alone. I don't have to do this by myself. And that's so important. God did not design us to just be isolated families learning to walk with Him. He designed us for this community. So we've already talked about a lot of stuff here, haven't we? We've talked about life as a journey down a path, down a road, journeying with God. As parents, we lead our children down the path, mostly by example, also with our words. As parents, we have to work together. We have to be unified in this task. And there are many other topics that we could talk about. In fact, you know that the parenting is such a big topic, it could be a whole series on its own instead of just one sermon. So we could have a whole series on this stuff. But there are two more topics that I do want to talk about as I think about parenting from the Proverbs. There are two more things that I think we really have to say here. I want to talk about discipline. What does the proverb say about disciplining children? And then to talk a little bit about a model for parenting. How do we have models as parents? So what does the proverb say about this tricky topic of disciplining children? Very controversial topic, really, in our world today. How do we approach discipline and things like spanking and corporal punishment? Some of the proverbs have been used as justification to abuse children. And you know God's word can be abused. People can abuse it for impure purposes. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Anyone think that could be abused? What do we make of a verse like this? I mean, the Bible clearly says here, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of discipline drives it from him. What does this mean? What is required of us as parents if we are to parent in a godly way in terms of disciplining our children? Another proverb along these lines is Proverbs 13:24, which says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." So these proverbs are summed up in words we hear sometimes, spare the rod, spoil the child, right? We've heard that. What does it mean? One thing it does not mean is that parents are ever justified in abusing a child. It does not mean that. And I have found it helpful over the years, especially when our children were young and growing up, to think of all forms of discipline, not just spanking, but all forms of discipline as things that as parents we do and we should do for our children, never things that we do to our children. That's a very important distinction. So I want to say that again. Let that sink in. Discipline is something that we do for our children, not something that we do to our children. Never take your anger out on your child. If you spank, spanking should never be done in anger. So what does that mean? Because when you have young children, getting angry is hard to avoid. Well, what it means is there may be a time when you have to send your child to their room until you calm down to a place that you are not angry when you are disciplining them. And if you say to me, "I don't think I would ever spank my children if I didn't spank them when I'm angry," then I would say to you, you should never spank your children. Never. And don't feel bad about that, like you're neglecting them somehow by not disciplining them in that way. If you can't spank without being angry, don't spank. And not just spanking, that would be true of all discipline. Give yourself a timeout to calm down before you go to discipline your child. Do you find yourself yelling at your children a lot? I just have to tell you, this, it's hard to preach a message like this when I have my children out here, some of them listening. Because I have failed in this so many times. Getting angry and raising my voice, reaching the boiling point, yelling at them, having to go back and say, "I'm sorry, I was angry. I need to apologize to you before we work through this issue. I was so close to yelling at one of them yesterday." And honestly, I probably would have, but I knew I had to stand up and preach on this today. And so I just sat there and waited a little bit, and then I said, in a very calm voice, I'm not going to yell at you, but you have to do this thing. You have to do it. And if you won't do it, then we're going to find some other ways. But I'm not going to yell at you. But it will happen. Never use excessive means to discipline your children. And this goes beyond just physical punishment. You shouldn't embarrass or humiliate your children. If you can't correct them in that moment without embarrassing and humiliating them, then correct them later. Over the years as a pastor, there's some interesting dynamics that go on, because one of the pressures that I shouldn't feel, and you guys don't put this on me as much as I do on myself, is I want my kids to behave well in church. Partly just because you want that anyway, but partly because I'm the pastor and my kids should be behaving well. But there have been times when we've had to go home and have a conversation at home because it would have been inappropriate and embarrassing to them to address it right there in front of a bunch of people. So keep the heart of your children in mind when you think about discipline and what would humiliate them and what would help them and what would benefit them. But do discipline them. If you don't, you are not helping them. It's pretty haunting words here. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. Now, it's important to say the word rod in the Bible does not always mean something physical or physical punishment. God tells David, when Solomon does wrong, I will discipline him with the rod of men. And this didn't mean people were going to come out and hit Solomon with a cane. It just meant he was going to be disciplined. He was going to be corrected. The word rod means discipline. So listen, I've already given some disclaimers about spanking, and one more thing I want to say about the subject of spanking. At least I've found this personally. Often spanking a child is the easy thing to do. That's sort of taking the easy way out. It's easy to spank a child when they're young. It's hard to really take time to get to know their heart and to try to understand and walk through whatever issue is going on. That takes more diligence. We are required to discipline our children, but in such a way that we try to reach their hearts so we help them walk this path with God. So discipline should be done in love, done for the good of our children. Some people don't discipline their children because honestly they're afraid that if they do, their children will grow up to hate them and they'll resent them. And I just don't want that, so they placate their children. I've already given some disclaimers about the dangers of spanking, so I just want to let Proverbs 23:13 speak for itself. But it says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. Children need discipline. And when it's administered in love for them, for their good, they will survive it. And they will be better for it. But the most important thing that I could say about parenting, and the thing that I want to close with today, is that our parenting of our children is based on God's parenting of us. We parent our children the way God parents us. And this language is used throughout the Bible. The Lord's Prayer, we're to call God our Father. In Galatians, Abba, Father. All throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see God as the Father of His children. He's the parent. We're the children. So consider just a couple of scriptures here. In Deuteronomy, when the people couldn't make it to the promised land on their own, it says, in the wilderness, the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went, until you came to this place. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God carrying his children to the promised land. That's what a parent does for a child. Isaiah 46:3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. So again, this beautiful image of God carrying a little child from his womb, but he doesn't stop there. He carries him all the way to the end of his life. The next verse. Even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. I will carry and will save. That's God. He carries us through life. In Hosea 3:11-4, it says, Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love. And I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down with them and fed them. That's God's tender care. And I'm going to skip a little bit of this context, but this was done in the context of God's discipline against them when they were rebelling. That's when he's showing this gentleness and this tenderness to them. In Zephaniah 3, it says, God rejoices over us. Joy over us is part of God's emotion to us as our parents. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. So that's the way God looks at you as his child. He rejoices over you. He loves you. He leads you. He's tender with you. He guides you down this path of life. And that's what we are called to do with our children. He's our example. We've been parented. We are being parented by God. And then we turn around and we extend that same love and grace and advice and discipline and all of those things as we lead our children. The Bible paints a very beautiful picture for us in this high calling of parenting. And one of the things, as I mentioned at the start of the service, we have the joy today of concluding this service with a baby dedication. Because really what we want for our children, is we want them to walk this road with God and to know Him so that ultimately they are coming to the place where He is their parents. We have this role to play that God has given us, but ultimately we are trying to bring them to the point where they are walking with God on their own in this path of life. And as a church family, this is a great reminder to all of us that our children are raised in the context of a family, but also in the context of this bigger family. So this is a good chance for us to remember that and to remember that we are part of something very holy and very special in this calling that God has on our lives, not just for our own children, but we have the opportunity with other children and other families that God has brought into this church. So we celebrate with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, help us as a church to understand the incredible privilege we have of raising up the next generation Lord, this is something that the church in general has done a very poor job of in recent years, as the next generation has often sought to leave their faith. So, Lord, would this opportunity of this baby dedication be a fresh reminder to each one of us that we have not only a responsibility, but a holy calling to each other, to pray for each other, to support each other, and to be models of what it means to walk the path of a Christian life for our children and for all those who come after us. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for the sake of His kingdom. Amen.